Follow the moving arrow. Is there any way to settle the dispute between mind first and matter first? If our beliefs stand in the way, perhaps reality must speak for itself, so there is no mistaking the results. One avenue stems from many centuries ago, in a paradox first posed in the 5th century BCE by Greek philosopher Zeno. The common term for it is Zeno's arrow paradox. As an arrow flies through the air, Zeno said, we can observe it at any instant in time. When we do, the arrow occupies a specific position. For the instant that it holds any position, the arrow isn't moving. So if time is a series of instants, it follows that the arrow is always motionless. How can an arrow be moving and motionless at the same time? That's the paradox, and it came to life 2 millennia later in the quantum Zeno effect, a term coined by George Sudarshan and Baidyanath Misra of the University of Texas. This time, the object being observed isn't an arrow, but a quantum state, such as a molecule undergoing a transition that would ordinarily decay in a finite amount of time. A quantum state that should decay is frozen by continuous observations. In many, though not all, interpretations of quantum mechanics, the wave-like behavior of a particle collapses into a state we can measure and observe thanks to the observer, although how the observer tinkers with this transition is highly controversial. As we've seen, the actual moment when a molecular state would decay can't be determined, but only estimated using probabilities. But in the quantum Zeno effect, the intervention of observation changes the system from an unstable one to a stable one. Can you stand around watching a molecule constantly to see when the actual event occurs? No. And that's the paradox. If an observer watches continuously or at super fast intervals, the state being observed will never decay. As with viewing a flying arrow in chopped up instants of time, observing unstable quantum systems subdivides the chopped up activity so finely that nothing happens. By analogy, imagine that you are a wedding photographer taking a picture of the bride. When you say, smile, the bride says, I can't smile when the camera is pointing at me. Now you're stuck. As long as you have the camera on her, there will be no smile. If you take the camera away, there will be no picture of her smile. This is the essence of the quantum Zeno effect. Why should this help settle the argument between mind first and matter first? It brings I back into the equation. The quantum Zeno effect shows that reality is like a bride who smiles naturally, only as long as a camera isn't pointing at her. She doesn't like being looked at. But there's the rub. We are always looking at reality. There is no such thing as looking away, which means that how the universe behaves when no one is looking has no meaning. Of course, since human beings have only been around for a fraction of the life of the universe, it remains an open question as to what an observation really is, and by implication, who is doing the observing. For many physicists, there can be no observer who isn't human. We will return to this point later. The matter-first camp refuses to accept this inescapable fact about constant observation. They are like a wedding photographer who says to the bride, I don't care if you can't smile when a camera is on you. I'm going to keep the camera on you until I catch a smile. He can wait forever. Apparently, so can the matter-first camp, despite the quantum Zeno effect. It tells us that we will never see a particular molecule undergo a transition as long as we insist on looking at it. In fact, the more observations you make, the more frozen the unstable system will be. So it must follow that the more we look at the world, and the closer we get to its finest structure, the more we are freezing it in place. Somehow, observation gives specificity to reality. Reality slips through Sherlock Holmes's magnifying glass just when he thinks he spotted a clue. But before the mind first camp starts to cheer, the quantum Zeno effect has bad news for them, too. There is no separate observer. The matter first people are stuck because they can't report what a physical system is doing when it behaves naturally. The mind first people are stuck because they can't produce an independent observer. The so-called observer effect only works if an observer can stand outside the system he wants to observe. You can chop the observer up, as it were, by asking him to take a measurement of one small thing, such as detecting a photon as it passes through a slit. If you watch all the time, however, the observer has no way to step back from the thing he's watching. This is why the quantum Zeno effect is sometimes called the watchdog effect. Imagine a bulldog chained to the back door of a house. The dog has been trained to keep its eyes on the back door constantly, and to bark if anything suspicious happens. Unfortunately, the bulldog is so fixed on guarding the back door that burglars can sneak in the front door or a side window or anywhere else they please. You might as well not have a watchdog. In the same way, any observation made in physics locks the observer's attention on a single thing. As long as the two are locked, anything else could be happening all around and no one would know it. You might as well not have an observer. This lock between observer and observed lies at the heart of the quantum Zeno effect. How can we break the lock? There's a good deal of controversy over that. Maybe the lock can't be broken. Maybe it can be broken through an equation, but not in real life. Amidst all this speculation, something wonderful has occurred. Reality has spoken for itself, which was just the thing we needed. Reality's message is intimate. I have you in my embrace. We are locked together, and the more you try to break away, the tighter my embrace becomes. In other words, matter first and mind first must both surrender to reality first. The observer has nowhere to stand outside reality. He's like a fish who wants to escape the sea, only to find that if it jumps out of the water, it perishes. For human beings, participating in the universe is how we exist. To exist is to be aware. That's the long and the short of it for human beings. Astonishingly, the same is true for the universe. Without consciousness, it would vanish in a puff of smoke, like a dream, leaving nothing behind and no one to know that it ever existed. Even to say that the universe is conscious doesn't go far enough. As we will convincingly argue, the universe is consciousness itself. Until that conclusion is accepted, reality's message hasn't been completely heard.